God's goal is not your conversion. It is your adulthood.
Dr. Tony Evans says salvation is the first step toward the fullness God wants us to experience.
When you discover He's all you have, you will also discover He's all you need.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The birth of a baby is amazing, but it's just the beginning of the story. Today, Dr. Evans explains the same is true with spiritual newborns as he talks about Christian growth stages from maternity to maturity. Let's join him.
We've been talking about spiritual growth and giving you the essentials of it. Fundamental to everything we've said is that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Growth is not merely performing religious duties, carrying out religious obligations, satisfying religious demands. In fact, all of those could impede growth. Growth is experiencing God. The goal of spiritual birth, salvation, and spiritual growth is the same as the parents who dedicated their children, and that is spiritual maturity. When a mother has a baby, it's not over, it's just gotten started. The goal is adulthood. We want to raise our children to become adults. God's goal is not your conversion. It is your adulthood. To see you grow up, to experience Him on a consistent level. If I were to define spiritual maturity, I would call it the ability to consistently look at and live life from the perspective of the Spirit rather than the flesh. It is being able to see as God sees and respond as God responds. And the summarizing word for that is Christ-likeness. That we partake of the character of Christ and have an intimate experience with God. Only to the degree that we are consistently looking at and living from the vantage point of the Spirit and not the vantage point of our own flesh, can we say that we have become a mature Christian? Maturity is not achieved just because you've been saved a long time. Maturity is not achieved simply because you come to church consistently. Maturity is achieved because you look at life and live it from the vantage point of the Spirit of God. And you will not discover how mature you are in church. Your maturity will be measured or realized in the day-to-day realities of life. 1 John was written to tell Christians how to maximize their experience with God. It's not a book about salvation. It's a book about maturing, growth, and intimacy. He starts the book off by saying what was from the beginning in chapter 1, which we have heard, seen with our eyes, beheld with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was manifested. We beheld it, bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And we have seen and heard and we proclaim to you that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. He says, we're writing 1 John so that you can have what we had. And we had an intimate association with Jesus Christ. We touched Him. We tasted Him. We experienced Him. He wasn't only truth in a book. He was truth for a life. And He became real. When you mature as a Christian, God leaps off of the pages in the Bible and He becomes real. When you become a mature Christian, it's no longer what the preacher said in the sermon. It's now what the Lord has spoken to the heart. He lays out the Christian life much like we would lay out the life of a child growing to adulthood. He does this in chapter 2, the three verses 12 through 14. And he talks to children, young men, and fathers. He is not here speaking chronologically. He is speaking spiritually. In other words, those who are in their spiritual pilgrimage are still children. Those who are in their spiritual pilgrimage, teenagers, young men. Those who are in their spiritual pilgrimage, mature fathers. So he's using that which is a normal part of life to express his desire to see us all grow to become mature believers in Jesus Christ, using something we can all relate to, and that is the various stages of growth. Verse 12, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. He says, I'm writing to the children, to the babies, to the toddlers among you. Babies can't take care of themselves. They can't change their own clothes. They can't feed themselves. They are totally dependent on the external environment around them for their well-being. Even though they have life, even though they are vibrant, they are limited. And the reason they are limited is because everything they need, somebody else has to do. So if the somebody else's don't do it, the baby is in trouble. Paul, expressing this positive and negative side of babyhood, says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, that is, as to babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly, since there is jealousy and strife among you. Paul is expressing this concern about babyhood. He says, when I came to you, I fed you with milk. That's understandable. You're babies. But then he says, my problem is 5 years later, you're still fleshly. In other words, it's okay to be dependent when you are a baby or a toddler, but the longer you live, the more you ought to reflect the new nature that you now possess. He then goes on to the second category that we want to talk about. Then we'll put all these together in just a moment. In 1 John 2, it says, I'm writing to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing you young men because you've overcome the evil one. He now goes from children to teenagers. He calls them young men. He's now in this in-between status between childhood and adulthood, and they're called young men. He says that these young men have to overcome the evil one. In other words, they're in a battle. They're in a war. They're in conflict. Just as a teenager in day-to-day life is in conflict with either parents or conflict with their own desires or conflict with their own peers or stresses and tensions between dependent and independent. He says, as you move from babyhood where you're totally dependent to adulthood where you have this walk with God that is not dependent upon everything else around you, you're going to have to go through periods of battling. And it is in the battling, in the warfare of struggling to grow, that you will be stretched to the next level of spiritual ability. And God will keep you a teenager until you overcome the evil one. He says what a teenage Christian needs to do is they need to know the word and know how to use the word when they are being attacked by the evil one. Teenage years are years of battle where you have to hold on to God's word because you're being bombarded. You're being bombarded by peer pressure. You're being bombarded by your own struggles. You are under constant battle. You need to see what God can do when you are under attack. It is during those teenage years, when you're a baby Christian, God will give you stuff just because you ask him. Some of you saw your greatest miracles when you first got saved. That's because Papa was doing everything for you. Okay? Listen, when you lead a new Christian to Christ, let them ask God for everything they want right then. Because early on, Papa wants to validate and verify his love and concern. And that's why new Christians get so excited over sins forgiven. And God seems to be showing up everywhere. But in the teenage years, when you're under attack and God is letting you be attacked because he wants you to use the power of his word to overcome the evil one. And every time you pray and ask him, heaven doesn't just open up and stuff rains down because he wants you to go through the process of development. He wants you to go through the struggle of growth. How many in the teenage years? How many have been in the teenage years for like a century? Okay? Now, watch this now. You do not come out of the teenage years until you learn to use God's word. You are stuck in adolescence until you learn to use God's word, until you appeal to the word of God, especially under attack, because you're in the battling years.
Dr. Evans will have more about the next stage in the life of a growing Christian when he continues our message in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's the best kind of self-care? Generosity. At The Urban Alternative, we take hope to a hurting world by sharing God's word. But to do that, we need your help. When you give to The Urban Alternative, you can help deliver hope and feel good while doing it. Learn how to contribute at TonyEvans.org, and thank you for helping us take God's word to a world in need on this Giving Tuesday.
And while you're on the website, check out Dr. Evans' current teaching series. Today's lesson comes from it. It's called Essentials of Spiritual Growth. The entire 2-volume, 16-message collection is available to you on either CD or downloadable MP3s. And includes bonus materials and complete messages we haven't been able to present on the air. You can get this series right now as our way of saying thanks when you make a donation to support the ministry of The Alternative. And as an added bonus, we'll even include a copy of Tony's daily devotional book, Life Under God. This popular resource will challenge, encourage, and inspire you each day to live your life in harmony with God's will. This special offer runs out tomorrow, so be sure to drop by TonyEvans.org today or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center is open 24/7 for your convenience. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have that contact information for you once more after part two of today's message. Here's Tony.
So, childhood is when you're birthed, you're forgiven, but you're totally dependent. Teenager is when you're in a battle, you're in conflict, trying to grow, and you're caught between being a dependent child and being an independent adult, which gives him a third category. They're called fathers. These are the grown-ups, the mature. He says in verse 13, the first line, I'm writing to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. Then he says in verse 14, I'm writing to you fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Whenever the Bible says something twice like that, pay real close attention. Okay? So repetition means emphasis. A spiritual teenager who has used the word of God, which is the way you get to be a teenager, knows that God's word can overcome the devil. How does a teenager know that? Because he's used it. It's the use of the word that overcomes the devil, and it shows the power of God. Teenagers see God's power. They can say, I saw God do this. I saw God do that. the evil one, I have had victory over him. God uses trials to accomplish this. But the fathers, it says that the fathers know him. Not just what he did, forgive their sins. Not just what he can do, overcome the evil one. But the thing that distinguishes the mature Christian from those still developing into maturity is they know him, and notice the description, who is from the beginning. Now, where do we get that phrase from? Chapter 1, verse 1. What was from the beginning, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we beheld with our hands concerning the word of life. He says a mature Christian is a Christian who's like chapter 1, verse 1. Now, what John says in chapter 1, verse 1 is these were the disciples. The disciples lived with Jesus, walked with Jesus, touched Jesus, saw Jesus. Jesus wasn't a concept. He was somebody they lived with for 3 years. When you become a mature Christian, you don't just know God's power, teenagers. You don't just know God's forgiveness, children. You know his person. They have experience, union with Christ at the highest possible level, and they've experienced it relationally so that they know God on a relational basis, not merely on an academic basis. Let me ask you to join me. Take your Bibles and turn back to a passage we looked at earlier, but it is probably one of the most important passages in the New Testament, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen to what he says in verse 9. Things which eye have not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them, verse 10, how? Through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Now, I got to work with this a little bit. He says things which eyes can't see. So that they're not physically visible. Your eyes can't see it, so it's not physically visible. Things that ears can't hear. In other words, they're outside of physical hearing. Things, he says, that have not entered into the heart of man. In other words, things that the mind could not naturally conceive of. So there are things you can't see, things you can't hear, and thoughts you can't think. Now watch this. He says those things, those three things, God has for those who love him. Not for those who go to church. Not those who listen to Christian radio. Not those who are involved in religious activity, although those things have their place, but those who have developed a love affair with him, who are in love with him. So they have developed intimately and relationally. He says, God hath revealed them unto us. So he's not talking about heaven. He's talking about information currently available. So guess what God wants you to experience in your maturity? He won't let you see things that 20/20 vision can't show you. He will let you hear things that having perfect hearing you'd never pick up on. And he will let you think things that no matter how brilliant you are, you would never be able to figure out on your own. In fact, if most of us were half as bright as we think we were, we wouldn't be in the mess we currently find ourselves in. Those things, he says, are revealed by the Spirit. The Spirit is the deepest part of you once you become a Christian. You have a body, that's your environment, a soul, that's yourself, and the Spirit, that's your ability to hear from God. And what God does in your development of intimacy is let you experience him in a world outside of any world you have ever been exposed to before, because it's a whole spiritual realm. Now notice what he says here. He says, For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the spirit of God. Now, what he's simply saying is the only one who knows God is God. Nobody knows God. Just like you know you, God knows God. So the only way you're going to know God is if God shows you God, because nobody knows God but God. All right? But we have, verse 12, not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. He wants to give you things you can't see, let you hear things you can't hear, let you think thoughts that you would have never been able to come up with on your own. And he says, I will give it to you. I love this word, free. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to earn it. The only thing we've got to have is for you to be close enough to pick up on the signal. If you're too far away, even if I won't reveal it because you're not connected with my spirit, you will not hear it. And then he describes it further in verse 14. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. That's an unsaved man. It doesn't even make sense to discuss it. He cannot understand them because you have to have spiritual ability. You have to have a receiver to pick up the signal. But then he says, verse 15, he who is spiritual appraises all things, and yet he himself is appraised by no man. He can understand stuff. Stuff can't understand him. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What he says, the ability to praise is to pick up on. You come here on Sunday so that through the sermon and through the worship, the Spirit of God can speak to your human spirit so that you know you heard from God. That's illumination, but only fathers get that. Only those who have matured over time and grown so that they have learned to hear the voice. So why do you want to grow? Here's why you want to grow. You want to grow so that you know him. When you do, you'll never be the same. Because you'll feel what he feels, think what he thinks, hear what he hears. And here's the great joy of spiritual intimacy. When you discover he's all you have, you will also discover he's all you need.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final word about the meaning of spiritual maturity. But first, a quick reminder that today's teaching is part of Tony's 16-lesson series, Essentials of Spiritual Growth. As I mentioned earlier, we're offering CDs or digital downloads of all the messages in this 2-volume series as our thank you gift when you support Dr. Evans' ministry with a financial contribution. And don't forget, we're also including Tony's Life Under God 365-day devotional book as an added bonus, as long as you make your request before time runs out tomorrow. So don't put it off. Visit us today at tonyevans.org to make the arrangements. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or give us a phone call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. One of the first things a teacher tells students is, pay attention, there's going to be a test. Well, the same is true in the spiritual classroom called life. I hope you'll join Dr. Evans tomorrow as he talks about what it takes to make the grade. Right now, though, he's back with these final comments.
So what should be your passion? Your passion is to grow. This church can't make you grow. All it can be is a greenhouse and provide a good environment for you to grow. A greenhouse. But you've got to decide, I want to know you. I'm going to learn the word to know you. I'm going to talk to you to know you. I'm going to fellowship with other saints who can help me get to know you. But the goal of all of this is to know you, that I may know him and the power, Paul says, that rose him from the dead. May God help us to be a church who knows him.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.